Good evening with the newsmakers. I am Ricardo Roberts. The Barbados economy continues to improve, marking its fourth straight year of growth with a real GDP increase of 2.7%. Central Bank Governor Dr. Kevin Greenidge reports that the island is successfully balancing expansion with lower unemployment and steady inflation. During the bank's review for 2025, Dr. Greenidge identified tourism as the primary engine of the economy.
Now, this growth was led by the U.S. market that expanded by 8.1% and accounted for about 80% of the additional arrivals. Now, the performance in the U.S. market reflected additional flights from Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. Similarly, increased airlift capacity in the CARICOM market contributed to that market expanding by 6.1%. And we had ongoing marketing initiatives supported the increase in arrivals from Europe. And at the same time, the marketing also increased arrivals from Canada that rose by 3.5%. However, in the UK market, arrivals dipped by 5.9%, and that is again reflecting reduced Singapore capacity in that market. Now, of course, the performance of tourism, the arrivals were reflected in the accommodation sector, and we had improvements there. In the hotel sector, the average occupancy rate that rose by 1.3 percentage point, and the average revenue per room increased by about 15%. In the sharing economy, that's the area being B space, etc., occupancy there rose by 0.7 percentage points. However, revenue per room declined by about 10%, and we see that as hosts adjusting their rates to maintain competitiveness within that space. Now, cruise did marginally well, helping support the strong tourism performance. Despite having 12 fewer cruise calls, cruise visitors actually rose by just under 1 percentage point to about 546,000 arrivals, and that reflected higher occupancy within each vessel.
The governor emphasized that the recovery isn't just about hotels. Several other sectors are contributing to the island's economic stability.
Now, as I mentioned in the overview, the 2.7% growth was quite broad-based, covering all sectors. The activity I mentioned in the tourism sector meant that tourism GDP increased by 3.1%, and as I mentioned, arrivals is at all-time high. At the same time, agriculture recorded a strong performance, 13.3%. Now, that was driven by mainly higher food crop output, particularly fruits and vegetables, along with poultry and egg production. Manufacturing was pretty flat, and that reflects weak performances in beverages and chemicals, which offset the gains we have gotten in food processing and construction-related manufacturing. At the same time, construction expanded by 9.2%, and that reflected various public and private sector investment projects that continue. In the private sector, you have things such as the Rollerton, Apesill Villas, the Covery Residences, and on the public sector, we continue Rosework infrastructure, etc., along with the Newton Enslaved Burial Ground Memorial and the National Performance Arts Center. Business and other services also grew 3.7%. In terms of GDP, that is actually the largest sector, and that was supported by demand for professional, for financial, and for real estate services, all linked to the construction activity and to tourism investment. Wholesale and redistribution trade, that increased by about 1.1%, and that was supported by the higher demand for construction materials, for household goods, for pharmaceuticals, and for motor vehicle parts. So overall, the takeaway that I will leave for 2025 is that growth was balanced, it was resilience, and it was supported by multiple sectors rather than concentrating in any one area.
The country's financial safety net remains strong, with foreign reserves sitting at $3 billion, providing over 27 weeks of import cover.
Barbados sustained economic growth during 2025, while at the same time keeping inflation low. Real GDP increased by 2.7%. Now, this is the fourth consecutive year of economic expansion. At the same time, inflation averaged about 7.7% over the 12-month period, and unemployment declined to 6.6% from 7.1% a year earlier. On the policy and stability side, government recorded a primary surplus of 3.3% of GDP, and the debt to GDP ratio fell to 94.6%. Credit expanded from $9 billion to $9.4 billion, and the banks reduced their non-performing loans portfolio from 4.1% to 3.6%. And this is the lowest level it's fallen since June 2029. In terms of our reserves, the international reserves remain around $3 billion, even as we had a widening of the current account deficit, and that's due to higher imports and lower exports.
Joblessness continues to trend downward, falling by 6%. Additionally, a drop in freight costs is helping to keep local inflation under control.
Now, in terms and in line with the economic performance, the unemployment rate continued to decline, falling to 6.6%. That's end September 2025 versus 7.1% end September 2024. And that reflected fewer unemployed persons, particularly in construction, in agriculture, and in tourism. At the same time, we saw higher retirements and increased school enrollment, which also contributed to an outflow of individuals from the labor force, and that resulted in the labor force participation rate falling from 65.8 to 63.6. What this means in normal language is that more Belgians are working, supported by broad-based gains across multiple sectors of the economy. In terms of inflation, we continue to see an easing of pressures in 2025 as price pressures moderated across many various sectors. In fact, if you look at the chart, you can see below here represents some declines in certain areas, including clothing, utilities, household furnishing, transportation, recreation goods. And there were lower increases, the increase, but still lower as it relates to such things as food and beverages. And so collectively, the inflation rate has moderated. Also, lower international fuel prices and the easing of freight costs will also have helped us to contain inflation during 2025. Our external buffers remain strong. Our foreign reserves at the end of 2025 represented 27.4 weeks of import cover, which is $3 billion. of gross reserves, and that's way above the benchmark. And in our view, that continues to provide a meaningful external buffer protection against external shocks.
And government accounts are showing a primary surplus of 3.3% of GDP, a clear indicator of a healthy national budget.
If I now turn to government fiscal operations, that resulted in an overall surplus of $541.7 million, or 3.3% of GDP, and a small deficit of $2.4 million, or 0.01% of GDP. And I'm looking at the first 9 months of the government fiscal year 2025-26. Now, on the revenue side, in terms of the direct taxes, we had CIT, corporate income tax, increasing by $30 million, and that largely reflected the shift we referred to in terms of timing refunds. In terms of personal income tax, we saw that rising by $13.7 million all in this space here. And that is due to high incomes, particularly in the financial sector, because of performance-based bonuses. In terms of indirect taxes, VAT, as you know, is the bulk of that. And VAT net of refunds would have increased by around $34 million, reflecting stronger economic activity, particularly in the wholesale and retail trade, along with higher import values. Now, on the expenditure side, if we look at non-interest expenditure, that increased by $181 million roughly. Goods and services went up by $107, reflecting higher costs of maintenance on government properties for rent and operating expenses. Wages and salaries went up by roughly $20 million, and grants to SOEs went up by roughly $25 million to cover largely operating expenses at the QEH. We also have subsidies to the transport board increasing by roughly $15 million. In terms of the interest expense, which this orange bar here, that declined by $5.2 million, reflecting on the domestic side, a $5.9 million reduction in domestic interest rates, and that reduction or savings came from the debt for climate swap, and that more than offset the 0.7 increase in external interest payments related to the 2035 euro bond. In terms of capital expenditure, that total, $393.8 million, substantially higher than what we have for the same period, 9 months of the fiscal year in 2024. That was roughly $264 million. And this increase reflected ongoing projects, including the roads program, including continued construction in Jeriat Hospital, the two senior citizen villages, and the acquisition of new garbage trucks.
Central Bank Governor Dr. Kevin Greenidge. And that was your newsmakers for this evening. I am Ricardo Roberts.